This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Xiaoning and Roshan. Now, in the preamble of its report, the World Bank uncategorically said that by any standard of measurement, Malaysia's agricultural transformation is a success story. So some major achievements that the World Bank has credited Malaysia for include securing enough food supplies to feed the domestic population, generating export earnings for the economy even in times of crisis, as well as creating a labour pool for Malaysia's later foray into the manufacturing and services sectors.
They also cite capital transfer to non-agricultural businesses, giving birth to government-linked investments like Sime Darby, and a high multiplier effect from every dollar created in agriculture sector. 80 cents are generated in the non-farm economy. So the government has been pivotal in setting the direction of our agricultural transformation, diversifying into planting other crops and eventually developing value chains along them. I think probably palm oil and rice being two of the bigger ones. And even though a majority of Malaysian planters remain to be smallholders, Felda was hailed as a successful approach in integrating them into the value chain.
However, results have been uneven, with those of tree crops like palm oil, cocoa and rubber being more successful in export orientation than food crops like paddy rice and non-rice agri-food. Therefore, moving forward, the main policy issues facing the government is on the agriculture transformation that is enough to push Malaysia to a high income status. As of 2017, agriculture productivity in Malaysia was less than half of the average among high income countries, and growth has mainly been driven by expansion in agricultural land. Diversification seems to be unfinished and have reversed as commodity crops like palm oil continue to dominate the sector.
So for more on Malaysia's agricultural policy, we have on the line with us this morning Samuel Tafase, a senior agriculture economist at the World Bank Group. Thank you for joining us, Samuel. Now, Malaysia has had success with palm oil, but when it comes to rice cultivation, which is equated with food security, why has the growing of this grain come with such high financial and opportunity cost to the country?
What we have found from our study that the tree crops like palm oil, rubber or cocoa, these crops are high value products. You can process them further to add value. What this means is that the return from these crops is higher. In addition, palm oil, as you know, it is highly traded in international market. It is one of the exportable commodities of the country. As an exportable commodity, it fetches a higher price. And then if you compare the changes in production that has brought in rice and in palm oil, there are two revolutions. One revolution is the green revolution that we all know. And when it comes to palm oil, there is this tropical oil revolution, okay? When you compare even the return between the two is not the production of rice that were benefiting from green revolution increased, but the increase in palm oil was almost 3 times of that of rice. So it is not necessarily limited to Malaysia, okay? And then one additional characteristics about palm oil, they have this positive income elasticity. What does that mean? As poor people live from poverty to the lower middle income countries, their demand for oil and related products increases. So there is always an expanding demand at global level, okay? Having said that, let me add one point. There is an understanding that rice production has not moved in Malaysia, but that's not true. Malaysia was feeding from local production around 5 million people in the 1960s. But now from local production, Malaysia is feeding 22 million people.
Meanwhile, the non-rice agri-food subsector remains challenging. What are the weaknesses there?
I just want from the outset to say now the agro-food sector has a bright future, okay? The future is really stacked in favor of the agro-food sector. That doesn't mean, you know, there are no challenges. You know, the main challenge, for instance, is just like other sectors, it's a question of productivity, okay? Productivity has to increase, you know, in order to be viable business in terms of occupation. There are progresses again, I just want to come to that factor again. For instance, if you take vegetable and compare 2017 and 1960, it has grown almost by 437%, you know. You take poultry, egg, and so on, okay. It is now, the country is more than self-sufficient in those production, okay. So there has been a progress on that, but there is still challenges, you know. Size of lands, it has been one of the hindrances because, you know, the technology you can apply with this limited size of land is limited. But now, because of the technology is improving, we are seeing a future that it could be applicable within a small plot of land. Another thing is, you know, there is this structural change also within the agro-food sector. You know, people's demand has moved from highly carbohydrate food rather to high protein and vegetable healthy food. So that structural change, the sector is expected also to adjust according to the demand. Another structural issue is also related to smallholder agriculture, okay? This smallholder agriculture is highly dominated by aging farmers. And the new farming requires, you know, new skills, okay, including technological skills. So you need people, farmers with higher skills to move forward the agro-food sector.
The report states that no country has made the transition to high income status without successful agricultural transformation. So how far along is Malaysia in that transformation?
Malaysia has made a remarkable progress in terms of agricultural transformation. If you look with its neighboring countries, the agricultural sector is highly integrated with the industrial manufacturing service sector. Okay, this integration, for instance, could be demonstrated by how much agro-industry has developed in this country. 20% of the products of the manufacturing sector, for example, are agro-industry, okay? But, you know, it has some characteristics, this integrative state. You know, the consumption pattern will change, population size starts to establish, and the middle income starts to rise. And then this will have an impact on agriculture, the amount of demand, the type of demand, the type of crop demanded. And then one important factor is during this integration stage that resources now start to transform from the agriculture sector to the industrial sector. That what I'm trying to say is those well-developed plantations and so on starts to invest in other sectors, which Malaysia has been experiencing for some time now. The last stage is called the industrial stage. We see some subsectors like palm oil and rubber, their food has already moved into the industrial stage. This is highly dominated in processing of agricultural products, highly integrated with the farming system and so on, and then highly integrated with the international market processing into a diversified products which will add the value added per worker, which means, in a sense, higher productivity. So this is where Malaysia is at the moment.
Thank you very much, Samuel. And that was Samuel Tafasir, a senior economist at the World Bank Group, with his thoughts on Malaysia's agricultural sector, which does seem to need to see a little bit more diversification in order to actually fully achieve a truly sustainable food security situation. Because as we've discussed before as well, just the fact that we have high levels of self-sufficiency in rice production doesn't mean that we are necessarily entirely food secure.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.